You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's the only thing left on planet Earth not owned by Disney. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh boy, we have a great show for you this week.
We've been bought out.
Oh no. We have a great show, a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
I finally watched Zim.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, now 3/4 of this room have watched Zim.
So close.
Go ahead and talk about it, because, you know, I'll get around to it eventually.
Man. I mean, I guess for the most part it felt right.
Oh yeah. It felt like Zim to me.
But I felt like maybe I still like it, but I'm wondering if like I've grown up a little bit out past it.
Huh. Well, I didn't feel that way.
You're a child.
Well, you liked it too, so what does that say about you?
I'm a child.
I mean, I'm a child too. I'm a big old child.
Now, I didn't watch the Zim movie, but I did go back, like, in preparation of watching the Zim movie, watched a couple episodes of the show, and I think it holds up pretty well. A couple of things here and there were a little, didn't quite land, but for the most part, the show holds up, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything in the movie I didn't like, to be completely honest. I just loved the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and I looked at the voice cast, and the tallest and stuff were the same, just they sound different.
Yeah, they definitely sound different, but I guess, okay, if they're the same, then I will take your word for it, because they don't sound the same.
I know, I mean, that's what IMDb told me.
I guess, now again, I haven't watched it, but I guess one of the early scenes in the movie was taken straight out of the first couple issues of the comic.
Yeah, the stuff with, they do the whole bit about Dib has been watching for Zim to come back for like an undisclosed but very long amount of time, and he's fused to his computer chair and
right.
Looks gross and has like all kinds of growths in his ears and eyes, and like it's all nasty.
Yeah.
The montage
of Zim like doing calisthenics
or like Dib getting unfused from chair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a whole big like workout montage for him, and then he gets too buff. And he's like ridiculously huge, veiny neck and everything, and he has to get back to normal size.
He even calls it out. He's like, I got back into shape, and then I got too much into shape, and I got back into regular shape. Though it feels like his dad.
His design changed a lot.
Well, not just that, but like his personality, like he more acknowledged the fact that he has a son rather than like anytime he interacts with him, goes, here to one of my fans.
It added a little bit of sentimentality to the show, which is something the original series did not have.
And that might be something that might have been picked up in the 10 plus years that Vasquez, you know, between being 19 when he made the show and like, you know, 30s.
And angry for a long time.
The original Zim was anti-sentimentality.
It
they
was.
Would never have did anything like that. But I think he's
softened
in his old age.
Kind of grown as a person a little bit.
And it makes it better that there is an emotional core to this story.
When his dad's talking to him about his childish like pursuits or whatever, he goes, when I was younger, you know, I thought sharks could be my friends, and he takes off his glove and he's got this big robot arm, he goes, but now I know better. Honestly, I think Professor Membrane was like the best part of the whole film.
He's always been one of my favorite characters. Yeah. He's been secretly one of the best parts of Invader Zim the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing between this and the Rocco one reveled in your nostalgia and was cool about showing you old characters and stuff.
Yeah.
The Zim movie was the absolute opposite. And in opportunities when they could have shown an old character or brought somebody back, they did not do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like Tack is referenced, but that's it.
And there's crowd shots with a bunch of kids, and they could have put, you know, some of the designs of kids from Zim's class.
There were a bunch.
No, they were just random kids. There wasn't like a Keefe or...
I mean, there were pictures of Keefe.
Which one was Keefe? Was
the one the one that wanted Zim to be his best friend.
His best friend that they replaced with robot eyes.
Yes.
And he thought a squirrel was Zim after the robot eyes. Yeah,
yes.
that's actually the one that I watched.
That one's kind of dark.
That yeah,
they all kind
they
of.
They all were all kind
of that
dark.
One and Dark Harvest are I think are probably
yeah,
a couple
the
of
yeah with
ones.
The yeah
are the some of the darkest episodes. Oh, and the Selling Candy one
with Poop Dog the Gangsta Clown. But it was anti nostalgia,
and that's cool.
Yeah,
that's very Invader Zim.
Wait, your leaders just fly in a straight line?
What else we got since we talked about that last week? But that is a little more in depth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I watched a bunch of Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, boy.
That's pretty cool. I'll be honest, I have watched episodes of it in the past, but I was never like, I never sat down and watched like it all. I
was like in release order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just an episode here and there. Really, my Star Trek viewing has always kind of been the original series.
Mm.
Like, I've watched episodes of Voyager enough to know that Janeway's a badass and like Next Gen and stuff, but I've been really digging Next Gen.
I love
like,
Next Gen.
Yeah, that's great.
A lot.
Yeah. I don't think we've watched a ton of it. We've watched maybe a season or so.
I mean, I remember watching it with my mom back when I was a wee little Sam.
So this just in. Star Trek's good. You
Star
guys.
Trek's pretty good.
You hear about this? Star Trek?
The Star Trek? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, the more that I watch Next Gen, though, the more I'm convinced that they're going to screw up Picard.
Because it's so far removed.
It's so far removed, and that trailer looks, for Star Trek Picard, looks not like Next Gen at all. It looks like the J.J. Abrams jumping around doing action stuff.
It's too flashy and too slick.
Yeah, that's not the point of Next Gen.
It's more like the Next Gen movies.
Next Gen's aesthetic is like 90s, like, office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like office furniture, like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, everything's so soft and
mm-hmm.
comfortable.
Yes. Yeah.
Except those costumes. Because
you know what, I really like the Next Gen costumes though.
Yeah. I do. But the design of like the uniform or whatever, it like mm-hmm. caused like Patrick Stewart like horrible pain in his back.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, like the way they designed it.
I thought you were gonna say that it chafed the heck out of his nipples.
Like if you notice, like every time he stands up, he's tugging on it.
Oh yeah, probably because of that seam right there, like right down the middle, almost. Between the black and the color part, probably was incredibly uncomfortable. Can't be any more uncomfortable than when he was Locutus.
Right. though I think it's in later seasons, closer to the end of Next Gen, they have more like the two-piece costumes like you see in the movies and Voyager and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That,
yeah.
Instead of the full jumpsuits.
Yeah. I've just been really enjoying it. Like, I've been watching mostly season 3 episodes. Just kind of grabbed a random DVD set and just started watching them. The one where Picard is forced to go on vacation for a week is pretty great.
Is that the one where he fights the guy who plays Tuvok later?
I don't know. Where he went to the vacation planet and ended up doing an archaeological dig for a future device with Vash.
Okay.
The Stampede. Yeah.
The humanoid typhoon.
Yeah.
He went to vacation area.
Yeah.
The vacation planet.
He went to Gunsmoke. He went to planet Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
No, the one I'm thinking of is everyone is leaving the ship for a refit or something.
Oh, okay.
And he forgot.
Getting their clothes tailored.
No, it's an actual naval term.
I know.
But he forgot his horse saddle.
Oh, okay.
And he's going back through the ship to go get to his horse saddle, and then these people that snuck onto the ship are like terrorists or eco-terrorists. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
And Picard is the only one left on the ship.
Mm.
And it turns into like almost like a, I don't want to say kind of like a Die Hard.
It sounds kind of like a Die Hard.
But it's like Picard, like, you know, hiding in like the different like service tunnels within the ship and whatnot and coming out and like fighting people.
No, that sounds pretty rad. The one I did watch was, it was a backdoor episode of them basically giving Tasha Yar a better send-off.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was killed off in the first season, right? Like, super unceremoniously. Yeah, because she didn't want to be on the show anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's killed by one of the few aliens in Star Trek Next Generation that actually looked like an alien.
Yeah, she got zapped by a tar monster and died.
Yep.
But this episode was like they went through a time vortex or something, or something, another ship of the Enterprise C came through a time vortex at a critical moment where it would have caused a ceasefire between the Federation and the Klingon in the normal timeline, because it came back, it came to the future
before the peace treaty.
Right. And because this ship accidentally came to the future, that peace treaty never happened. So the Enterprise D was like a warship, and Tasha Yar was still on it.
Mm.
And Guinan was the only one that still remembered everything. That was a really cool episode.
I tell you, of all the sci-fi like fandoms out there, Star Trek plays the most with time travel.
And that's great.
Except for Doctor Who.
Well, yes, yes. I mean, that's its whole shtick, but more like, I don't want to say like Doctor Who's not mass consumed. At the time, it wasn't.
Just well, was not that
the
here.
Dark times?
The dark times.
The darkest timeline. The Terran Empire, Doctor Who.
But I've been really digging it. I've been really wanting to go back and watch more of it and kind of dig in. I did go on the Memory Alpha Wikipedia page and look and read up about the Borg, because I'd never seen Nemesis.
Oh.
So my knowledge of actual knowledge of Next Gen is like really fairly limited. So I didn't really know much about the Borg other than, hey, there's a Borg Queen, and I think Seven of Nine was one.
Mm.
And they fly around space in cubes.
And big cubes. Which you would think they would fly around in spheres, because it is the most, like...
Spheres are their scout ships.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. See, I figured that everything would be spherical because it is nature's, like, most perfect, like, most efficient shape. And the Borg are all about efficiency and perfection, right? That's kind of their thing?
Sort of. I mean, yeah.
Perfection through assimilation.
Yeah, like, everything is, like, you know, for the goal of the group.
Right.
Rather than the individual.
I guess they were originally supposed to be bug monsters.
They're the utilitarian...
bug monsters.
Society, yeah.
Space zombies. Yeah.
And after we get through Next Gen, I'm really kind of wanting to watch some Voyager. I really... Yeah,
Voyager's real Borg-heavy. Voyager's a lot of fun because it takes a lot of the... Like, it gets you away from all the stuff you normally see in Star Trek because they're so far outside of their home turf or whatever.
Yeah. Now, Deep Space Nine is the one with Sisko, right?
Yes.
Okay. That guy's, like, what's his name? Avery something or other, the actor?
Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks. He's nuts, right? Like...
I don't know, maybe.
Because I remember watching a documentary called The Captains.
Yeah, where they sat down the four, at the time, current captains.
Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone gave, like, regular interviews, but Avery Brooks was, like, out there, bonkers, like, and I kind of want to watch that. Also, doesn't he punch Q?
Yes, he punches Q right in the
face. Well, there you go. Perfect.
He punches, he's definitely an angry Star Trek character.
Yeah. Q is like proto-Loki, kind of.
Or just is Loki.
Basically, yeah. Like.
He gets bored and just wants to do stuff. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's great. That's super good.
This has been The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek recap podcast. Anyway, mentioned cubes.
Yes.
Which reminds me of something I've been checking out this week.
Okay.
Have you seen a YouTube series called Knickknacks?
No.
It is a show-by-show recap of every show that ever has been on Nickelodeon.
Oh, interesting.
From its inception to, I think, they're not even in the 90s yet, and there's been 30 or 40 of these, I think.
Oh, wow.
But the most interesting part to me so far is that it started as part of a cable service called Cube.
Cube, yeah.
That was only available in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, interesting.
So the birth of Nickelodeon kind of owes itself a little bit to Columbus.
That's awesome. No, I knew about Cube, but I didn't know it was based in Columbus.
Cube,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a cable service that had interactive elements. Like, it had a remote where you could, on shows, they'd say, hey, push this and to vote for this or whatever.
Oh, cool.
You could interact with your TV shows through this Cube remote. And one of the shows on Cube was Pinwheel, which was an educational show
spun off Nickelodeon, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
When they saw that a network for kids worked, they spun it off to Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. But I thought the Cube stuff was really interesting.
No, that is really interesting.
He has like a gong show.
Yeah, there was a gong show, a Columbus produced gong show.
Really?
Where people would vote with their remotes while they watched it, and if they got enough no's, they'd make the person stop.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was a show called Columbus Goes Bananas, which I haven't watched the video for this one yet, but I read a little bit of it, about it on Wikipedia the other day, and apparently they filmed it in the Westland Mall in Columbus, which is
really
closed down
now.
But
well, yeah. But no, that's, wow.
Yeah, it's just really interesting that Columbus was the test zone for Cube.
Columbus is like a good test market, apparently.
Yeah.
Except for things like, you know, fiber internet or anything like that.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, yeah. But no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I think the channel's Pop Arena.
Oh, okay.
Is the YouTube channel that has all these. And they're all like, they're like a half hour a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Go really in depth with every little bit of old Nickelodeon show you could think of.
That's awesome.
There's this weird Canadian show that was...
What was that, Hanging In?
Yeah. It was like 7 seasons and nobody remembers it. It was bad.
It was a sitcom about counselors that worked at
a community center.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran on Canadian TV for 7 seasons, but nobody, like the guy that does these videos, the most he could find was an episode and a half.
Oh, interesting.
Even though supposedly over 100 episodes of this show exist, you can only find an episode and a half.
Wow.
That's just how forgettable the show was.
Yeah.
It's like the executives forgot it existed so they could cancel it, and then it ran for... But then the video creator goes into this rabbit hole about Canadian sitcoms, Canadian produced sitcoms, that's really interesting.
Oh, interesting.
And I had no idea that Danger Mouse was at one time Nickelodeon's most popular show.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe. And I remember watching Danger Mouse when I was the tiniest of children.
I vaguely, vaguely remember Danger Mouse.
I love Danger Mouse.
I got my kindergarten class to name the class gerbil or whatever, Penfold.
Nice.
From Danger Mouse.
Oh, that's excellent.
Though I've not watched any of the new Danger Mouse that's on Netflix.
It's fine. I mean, it's not... It's about as good as the original Danger Mouse, so it's fine.
Which was
fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an eye patch and stuff. He was cool.
It was basically the British version of Rocky and Bullwinkle, like, comedy-wise.
Mm-hmm. Or Secret Squirrel.
Yeah.
Oh, crumpets.
But I wholeheartedly recommend this YouTube series. Like, the guy does really good research.
Oh, cool.
It got to a point where you were like, why are you still watching this? I've had enough. We talked about Mindhunter?
No, haven't talked about Mindhunter.
It's the Netflix series about the guy that basically coined the term serial killer. And he goes through and he interviews a bunch of serial killers to figure out, you know, why they do the things they do.
Mm. I think I saw some pictures where it had, like, actors who were playing various serial killers and how much they look like their real-life counterparts.
Yeah, the guy that plays Ed Kemper is excellent. Like, he does such a good job.
Like, the dude who looks like Charles Manson looks like Charles Manson, and it's creepy.
We haven't gotten to the Manson part yet, though, in the second season.
Hmm.
But the first two episodes are pretty good. The first one's a little slow, and there's not much talking to serial killers in it. It's like it's fictionalized but based in truth type of thing.
Oh, okay.
And it's David Fincher that does it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
And it, I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting and
good,
well put together show.
Mm.
The character interactions between the different people who are part of this FBI, what I guess you wouldn't say squad.
Task force?
They're the behavioral science unit. That's what they're called.
Oh, okay.
The interactions between all the members of the behavioral science unit are all interesting on top of the work that they're doing to solve these serial killer crimes.
Hmm.
The only thing that gets me is they're going after BTK here at the beginning of the second season, and you know they're not going to get him.
No.
You know, they're not going to figure it out because they didn't figure
they
out.
Never found it. Yeah.
No, they do. They did, okay. Like, but they not did. Until, yeah. Like, the...
2005?
Right, yeah.
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 Way after this series takes place.
Right.
Because they caught him because of metadata on a floppy disk he gave the police. Well, first he asked the police, if I give you guys a floppy disk, will you be able to trace it back to me? To which the police went, no. And then, of course, they absolutely can.
Oh, they
through,
did, yeah.
Through the metadata in his Microsoft Word document.
Why would he believe them?
I don't, because maybe he wanted to get caught. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's, I keep saying, I recommend this, which seems weird to constantly be doing. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But it's a good show so far. It's just, it's a little dry. It seems a little more dry this season than it was last.
Mm.
But maybe we just haven't watched enough for it to really get started.
I started playing Minecraft again.
What?
Whoa. Why?
Out of left field.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something to do. I guess.
Are you okay, buddy?
Do you need to talk about it?
Well, I'm not playing it alone, so there's that.
Well, that's okay. Well, I mean,
I'm playing it with a bunch of my AMP card friends.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So are you LARPing in the digital world?
Yeah, are you in character within Minecraft?
No.
Is Grim Gemchild making redstone and mining for diamonds?
Yesterday we cordoned off a whole area of a beach for turtle mating.
What
is this game?
Wait a minute, I've missed out on a lot of Minecraft.
I haven't played Minecraft in like 10 years.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there is a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like a lot of like crazy banana stuff.
I'm not going back.
No.
Just like World of Warcraft, I'm not going back.
Oh man, we could talk about that on the show too.
Yeah, let's do
it. World of Warcraft Classic coming back.
I mean, I didn't play it, but
I succinctly put it on my Facebook. I'll play World of Warcraft Classic if it also takes me back in time to a time when I had 10,000 hours to waste on World of Warcraft.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's sea turtles in Minecraft now.
Oh, sea turtles.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I always said it needed.
And apparently if you don't sleep so much, a special monster spawns and attacks you at night, and it can go through walls.
Oh, fun.
Go the sleep monster.
Yeah, they're called nightmares.
It's the sleep paralysis monster that comes for me every night.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't play WoW Classic, but I have a few people on my friends list that went back to it, and I've been reading a lot of articles about it. I mean, part of me was tempted. I was like, oh man, this is like the golden age of my PC gaming right here.
Yeah, I felt the same way, but no.
I never played WoW. You know,
that was probably for the best.
I did a couple of MMOs, but I never did WoW.
I mean, it's
fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, you've had me play it a couple times. Yeah. It's fine.
We played it together for a little bit. We never really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like most MMOs, I get around mid-level and then just lose interest.
Yeah, I remember when you were into Star Trek Online there for a while. And
they've added so many factions to that game.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's stupid how many there are.
The girl in my Spanish class apparently plays Lord of the Rings Online.
People still play that?
She apparently does.
The fact that it's still running.
The professor asked what we did this weekend. That's what she said she did.
This is your college edition of Check It Out.
I mean, I've played that before. It's not bad, but
I haven't played it since it came out.
I don't know. If I was going to go and play an old one, I'd pick up probably like Dungeons & Dragons Online. That one was pretty good.
When it first came out, it was really, really good. But then they changed a lot of stuff, and it didn't feel right after that. Mm. That and after you've done the dungeons so many times and you know where all the traps and stuff are, it's like...
Yeah, and that's what I liked about it. The dungeons actually felt like dungeons where there'd be puzzles and things.
Yeah, instead and of traps just, and things like that.
Instead of just a hole with a bunch of differently leveled mobs in it. Like,
yeah. Although, you know, if I were to jump back into one, it would probably be Champions Online again. I mean, there's not much there other than that Buck Wild character creation tool.
Well, I mean,
it takes you like at least 30 minutes to make a character you're kind of okay with.
Yeah.
I've been playing DC Universe off and on since it's on the Switch, and it's good, and it's one of those you can just pop in and play it for a little bit because it's action based. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like that a lot. I actually did a quest where you have to group up with another person the other day. It was a Justice League Dark themed one.
Oh, interesting.
Where you had to go into Shazam's, what is that, the Rock of Eternity?
Yeah.
And stop Clarion the Witch Boy from messing it up.
Oh man, Witch Boy.
Yeah.
I forgot how much he was in like Justice League.
Well, then when you get to the end, that Shazam shows up and is like, what the heck are you doing in my cave, in the Shazam cave? And you have to fight him off.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Wizard Shazam, not Captain Marvel Shazam?
No, Captain Marvel Shazam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you and another player have to fight Captain Marvel.
Huh.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rad.
I always thought it was really weird, like, depending on the character type you kind of based your character off of, like... It dictated, like, your movements and your powers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And also, Constantine and Zatanna were there.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good game. I remember I played it really hard when the Lantern stuff came out.
Get it on the Switch. It's fun on the Switch.
I don't know. I don't know if I would do MMOs anymore.
You don't have to go hard on it. You can just pop in every once in a while and do a few quests. That's what I do.
Don't have time for MMOs. You gotta spend your time
playing Minecraft,
building a nether portal and fighting a wither.
Sea turtles, apparently.
Yeah.
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 Yep. I remember back in the day just being like, if only there were sea turtles here.
Yeah, there's like sunken ships and treasure maps and all kinds of stuff in the game now.
Not the adventure mode that Notch said would be put into the game 10 million years ago that never happened.
Yeah.
Sea turtle.
Yeah, well, Notch said a lot of things.
Yeah, well, yeah, the less said about Notch, the better.
Uh-huh.
The fact that they don't even mention him anymore.
Yeah, Microsoft doesn't even bring... Well, it's because the creator of Minecraft was actually Hatsune Miku, and everybody knows this.
All right, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about some news.
Nerd Overload is a show produced under the umbrella of a nonprofit organization, Marion Community Radio WZMO. To help with our fundraising, we have become a member of Patreon. What is Patreon?
Patreon exists because when creators are paid, they can create more amazing things. Things that inspire us, teach us, challenge us. Things that make us laugh. Patreon is a membership platform that makes it really easy for creators to get paid. We're using the idea of patronage, which is actually a really old idea.
Exactly, Jack. If it weren't for patrons, we wouldn't have Romeo and Juliet or Mona Lisa, Mozart, Shakespeare, Da Vinci. They all had patrons.
What can I do to help Nerd Overload?
Patrons set a monthly subscription-style payment for the level of membership they want.
Where do I go?
Thousands of creators and creative teams are using Patreon to run their business their way. So if you're a professional creator, start a page and give your fans the opportunity to become patrons.
Patreon.com/nerdoverload now.
Hey, we're back. That was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, because we're halfway there through the show.
Halfway through the show.
Yeah, we're doing it, guys.
Is the show halfway done or is it halfway started?
It's halfway done.
Okay.
You can't reverse it.
It doesn't reverse.
All right. So, hey, let's get into a little bit of news. There is a little bit of non-Disney news that we should probably go over before we delve into, like, all of Disney.
Believe it or not, there's some properties that Disney doesn't own.
Believe it or not. So, this first one isn't really that much of a thing, but we kind of wanted to mention it. Mortal Kombat 11 recently released their Combat Pack, which is their first round of DLC characters. Fighting games do this nowadays. A lot of games do this nowadays.
Mostly just fighting games.
Yeah, and most of these characters are pretty stock standard. I mean, you have Shang Tsung, which is actually pretty cool because he looks like the actor from...
It's the movie one.
The Mortal Kombat, the movie. Kari Hariyuki Takawa.
Yeah.
Which I think we talked about on previous shows.
I think we talked about how they were bringing him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in the crypt.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, they have him. They have Nightwolf. Sindel.
I'm surprised they brought back Nightwolf
because he is a complete all-rounder character. He is not good at anything, but he's not bad at anything. He is like the Mario of
of Mortal Kombat.
Of Mortal Kombat.
I don't even call Mario like an all-rounder character for Smash anymore. I hate his moveset.
I like Mario. Mario's one of my favorites.
Dr. Mario has the better moveset.
Dr. Mario does have the better moveset. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
then after the couple of Mortal Kombat actual characters, they always have guest characters. They've been doing this for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
This season, they are doing Spawn, which looks excellent. Looks just like him. Actually gave him the cape, which is cool.
It fits the Mortal Kombat world,
I think. Yeah. Yeah, there's few characters that fit into Mortal Kombat better than Spawn.
Well, they usually pick either horror characters or characters that are pretty, you know, extreme, edgy. Like last season...
Wasn't Doomguy in one of them?
No.
No, Doomguy wasn't. But like last season they had like... Or last Mortal Kombat 10, they had like the alien from Alien Predator. They had Predator. Yeah. They had Freddy. Yeah, that sort of thing. One of the other ones they have is the T-800 from Terminator. Although it's going to be old Arnie.
Yep.
Which is cool. He looks like... spot on, dead on, perfect. Looks just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's creepy.
It's uncanny. And the other one they're adding in is the Joker from DC Comics.
Oh, I was gonna say Persona.
Yeah.
No, that would be pretty great. Yeah. Calling Arsene in there or whatever.
I don't want to see him get his spine ripped out.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
That is kind of a weird thing now that, since the Joker's going to be in it, I mean, people are going to be able to do fatalities on the Joker. That is kind of weird.
And but he looks so weird.
Yes, this one, he looks like there's a definite quality drop in the character models for the Joker compared to everyone else, to the point where, like, it really sticks out. It's bad.
Other than the fact that he just has, you know, green hair and a white face, but...
But, like, even at that, I mean, he looks cartoonish next to all these fairly realistic looking
characters.
And as it turns out, the reason for that is the Joker was not originally supposed to be in this set. It was kind of a last second
wasn't
addition.
Wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Exactly. Instead, we were supposed to get Bruce Campbell's character, Ash Williams, from the Evil Dead movies.
Which is much cooler.
is so much cooler and would have fit in perfectly. Actually would have been one of the first horror movie characters that is a hero character.
Yeah.
In Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine chainsaw arm and shotgun? Yeah. Like, his moveset, like, pretty much speaks for itself. Like, it's super great. But unfortunately, I guess, deal fell through at the very last second. To the point where the Xbox store for Mortal Kombat 11 had a banner for the combat pack. And Ash Williams was there in that banner.
Mm.
Like, so this was super, super, super recent. And I just think it's kind of a shame, you know?
Yeah, we get garbage Joker instead of Ash.
Yeah, because what they did, they ended up taking the character model from not even the Injustice games, which are fairly recent. It was like...
It's not even DC versus Mortal Kombat Joker either.
No,
it just looks off.
It's not right.
Like, his head's really rectangular and his shoulders are really wide.
It's the best Joker they could make in 48 hours.
Basically, yeah. So I imagine they're probably going to beef up the quality for the actual release, but as it stands, it's not.
Honestly, good. I didn't even know that tidbit about the information, but the minute I heard the laugh in the trailer, I was like, no.
It's
And
not
I
great.
Love the character. I love the Joker character. He's like one of my favorite comic book villains, but. Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
We had Mortal Kombat versus DC. It was a bad game.
It was a T-rated Mortal Kombat game, if that tells you anything.
The Injustice games are okay. I played the first one. I've played both of them. I take that back.
I've played both of them, but I've only beaten the first one.
Yeah, and the story mode is pretty hackneyed and goofy.
Yeah.
But the fighting mechanics are pretty decent.
It lets you know like how you can have two Batman in the same place.
Oh yeah. Time travel, parallel universe. And also, Batman has developed Superman pills to give everyone Superman strength.
Yeah, so you don't get, you know, just crushed by Superman immediately.
Everybody take your Superman pill.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, that's a story point in the thing. Like, Joker takes him and goes, I feel great.
Yeah. Speaking of Joker, Josh, you wanted to talk about the Joker trailer.
Speaking of questionable Jokers.
Yeah, so the final trailer for the Martin Scorsese...
Produced
Joker film came out, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I mean, I could tell you how I feel about it.
Like, I like Scorsese and stuff, and he's made fantastic films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure how well it fits with the character.
So dour.
It's pretty clear that this is not that this is like Joker in name only, like
that we know of anyway.
As far as we know,
this is somebody else's idea of what the Joker is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of plays from some of the Killing Joke.
Might have been Killing,
where they kind of dealt where Joker tells about his past a little bit.
Yeah, that was Killing Joke.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it looks like it kind of fits those notes a little bit.
A little bit, but it sounds what it looks like is Martin Scorsese had one of his PAs read The Killing Joke and transcribe the high points to him, and then.
And then how to fit his friend Robert De Niro and stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they like mixed up the script pages with like Taxi Driver.
Yeah, they retrofit Taxi Driver into. Yeah, because it's what it looks like. I mean, it looks like a fine like crime drama.
I'm sure it'll be a really neat film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, production wise and everything, it looks interesting. Just as far as the Joker character, I don't know. I mean, granted, we don't know anything because it's, you know, it hasn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it might pull the rug out from under us a little bit because here lately, DC Warner Brothers has been almost trying to pull away from their shared universe to more of a, hey, remember the multiverse of DC?
Yeah,
this is what we're doing now.
Their track record has been getting better.
It's been getting better, yeah. But this also seems as though it is another prime example of Warner Brothers being ashamed of and embarrassed of the roots of their characters that they're pulling from. Like Disney, for better or worse, and Marvel Studios is embracing the comic
goofiness.
The goofiness, the comic bookiness of their characters, while Warner Brothers seems to constantly be like, the comic books, but no, seriously, they're actual characters, believe us or not. Believe it or not.
This is for adults.
Yeah.
This is an adult fair for mature adults. But
yeah.
It is about a clown man.
Yeah.
Like the way they have like Joaquin Phoenix playing the character almost like reminds or kind of reminds me of like almost like a cross streaming of Jack Nicholson in the 89 Batman film.
A little bit.
Like in the beginning.
A tiny bit.
Like in the beginning of the movie.
Okay, yeah.
When he's just a, you know, just a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of the psychotic break of the Dark Knight one.
There was a movie, I think it starred Robert De Niro, where he was a failed comedian.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Because they were talking about, I think in a Polygon article or something, mm-hmm. comparing how similar that movie is to this Joker movie. And I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it looks like Taxi Driver and... It's not The Man Who Laughs, because that's the original basis for the Joker.
Yeah, that was like a silent film.
That's like
film.
A silent film. Yeah, look it up while we're talking.
Wasn't
but
it Raging... No, not
no, that's a boxing movie.
Yeah.
Like,
but anyway, yeah, it looks like they're pulling from a lot of different, like, more classical, you know, crime drama and, mm-hmm. like, drama film sources. At that point, why call it the Joker? Why not say... You know, come up with a cool, like a different.
Is it the King of Comedy?
I think it's the King of Comedy. Yeah.
Hmm. Also, the fact that the movie feels like it can't decide if it wants to be in the 70s or not.
Yeah. Like every trailer up until this last one looked like it was more like set in the 70s. This one looked just kind of run down modern day almost.
Yeah, because there was like a lot of like modern day like medical stuff like uh-huh. in the trailer.
Yeah, so.
But it definitely has like this 70s urban decay look to it too.
Yeah, like with like the costumes, like the subway, the way the set pieces looked like for Robert De Niro's character's TV show.
Yeah, that's true. I am kind of excited to see Zazie Beetz in something else.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because that was Domino in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
I guess I had forgotten that she was going to be in this film.
I
like her as an actress quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
I think she's really good. So
she was definitely a high point.
Yeah, so I'm excited
but,
for that.
I mean, I don't know about this film.
Yeah,
I guess
I'm afraid it's going to end up in the pantheon of like your Fight Clubs and your Donnie Darkos and your Dark Knights of like
yeah
edge lord college freshman films.
The Crow.
Yeah.
Man, you're talking about a lot of movies I like.
I mean, they're good movies, but you know what we mean. It's like people who put way more stock into them
than personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely Donnie Darko when I was younger. everyone was all about, like, a failed movie in the theater that got, like, huge cult following.
Sure.
Remember the buildup we got for Boondock Saints in college? Oh, we were told over and over again just how awesome this movie was.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat down and watched it, and I was like,
it's fine.
It's not that.
I hated the second one.
The second one wasn't great.
Shooting.
Yeah.
I hate that second movie.
We met the old dude from that movie at 16-bit that one time.
Oh, Billy Connolly?
That's who it was, wasn't it?
Wait, are you talking about like the?
Their dad.
Oh
yeah, it's Billy Connolly.
Huh.
Yeah. Remember he gave you a signed like boarding pass from his flight.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was the same time you interviewed.
That's right, when I interviewed JDF and the other guy from. One of the other brothers, the one that's not Norman Reedus.
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Sean Patrick Flannery was standing there next to JDF.
You sure that wasn't David DeRocco you guys met?
Maybe it was.
Because that year, I remember David DeRocco being there.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, this Joker movie, I'll see it. I'm not 100% sold on it, but I'll see it.
I don't know if I'd go to a theater to see it.
I'll spend $5 at the Marion Theater for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that even for movies I do like, so.
True. Matinee.
Yeah, it's a matinee, yeah.
It's not even a matinee, there we go. It's just their price all the time.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about I'd see it as a matinee.
Which is $5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so we have D23 stuff, Disney stuff, but let's do the Shovel Knight really quick.
Yeah, there was a big Yacht Club Games who make Shovel Knight kind of did their own sort of Nintendo Direct style stream of announcements, and they announced that the two remaining like DLC things for Shovel Knight, the King of Cards and Showdown,
mm-hmm.
one of which is the King Knight expansion along with a card game. The other one's a multiplayer fighting version of Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
That's all coming out in December, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
It's very cool. And it's one of those things where if you have the Treasure Trove pack, that's like $20 on Steam and Switch and stuff.
Yep.
If you have that, you're going to get them for free. Like,
yeah.
It's not a paid DLC thing. It's like just you get those.
Yeah. I think they were Kickstarter
stretch goals. Yeah. It's just taking them a while to make them because Yacht Club Games, they put out good content.
Yeah. Shovel Knight's one of the best games in general.
It really is. Yeah.
The other thing was a Shovel Knight spinoff game about digging down towards the center of the earth
mm-hmm.
After a dude named Drill Knight, who has a really cool design. It looks like a fun, like slight twist on Shovel Knight. It's a little different, but not too much different from the original game.
It's really cool. Less static platformer and more like platforming, but also kind of like Dig Dug.
It looks like they mixed Shovel Knight with Mr. Driller a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope it's not as infuriating because still to this day, you want to see me get mad at a video game? Have me sit and play Shovel Knight. Like, it gets to the point where, like, I know what I need to do, but my fingers don't have the manual dexterity anymore to do what the game requires of me. And, like, oh, I would rage about that game.
I need to go back and finish the other two DLCs, Spectre of Torment and
Plague of Shadows.
Plague of Shadows.
Yeah.
I never finished those, so I got to go back and do that before these ones come out.
Is it time to bow down to our mousy overlords?
I suppose it is. Yeah. So, yeah, D23 is like Disney's exclusive. It's almost turned into like
Comic-Con. It's Comic-Con now that Disney owns everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like their third Comic-Con.
Yeah. So in this convention, they elaborated on some things they talked about at Comic-Con. They also revealed a bunch of new trailers and new shows and a lot more stuff about the Disney Plus app.
Yeah, and basically, every Marvel character you've ever loved is getting a show on Disney Plus, more or less.
Basically, yeah. Like, what were the three that they announced?
Ms. Marvel, which is awesome. Kamala's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great character. It'll be a good show. It'll be interesting to see if they can make her stretch and in beginning powers not look horrifying in live action.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't even realize it was going to be live action. Even the creator of Ms. Marvel is like, never expected the character to ever be made.
Yeah, there was the interview with G. Willow Wilson, and she said, I don't know how they're going to do it, but good luck, because we didn't think about this when we made the character.
The only thing I am a little concerned about with Ms. Marvel, and this goes back to news from about 2 years ago. Do you remember that show, The Middle? The yes. one with Patricia Heaton and, you know, the kids. It was basically Malcolm in the Middle.
It was like a spinoff.
But
kind of thing.
It wasn't really a spinoff, but it was Malcolm in the Middle, but the main character is the mom instead of Malcolm.
Yeah.
So the middle child on that show, she's the voice of Star in Star versus the Force of Evil, had a meeting with Marvel Studios, and they gave her, I guess, like a huge stack of Ms. Marvel comics.
Hmm.
And the rumor 2 years ago was that she was going to be portraying Ms. Marvel in some kind of fashion. Problem is, Ms. Marvel is... She's
Muslim.
She's Muslim.
And it's a major part of her character.
It is. And, I mean, last time I checked, what's her name from the middle in Star versus the Force of Evil is not. So that's a little troubling. But, again, it's been 2 years. That could mean nothing at this point.
Yeah, I don't think Disney's dumb enough to do that again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's very true. The other couple of shows that they announced were a She-Hulk.
Eden Share.
But a She-Hulk show, which I am super psyched for.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be Ally McBeal, but also punching. And I am totally down for that. I hope they go with, like, the lawyer
angles of it.
Angle.
Yeah. I mean, they would almost have to, I would hope.
Well, I mean, more recent comics, she has been just... you know, superhero She-Hulk. But
she had that really cool series where it was basically just her hanging out in her law office.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Like, I'd like to see, like, just, you know, professional, you know, dress, you know, giant She-Hulk.
Yeah.
I want Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine to play her.
I would really like that. I'd also like to see her as America Chavez.
She'd be a good America Chavez too.
Yeah, but no. If she gets cast as She-Hulk, that would be pretty great.
I can't think of anybody else that would be better.
No, like, I mean, unless they get some kind of professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Which at this point, professional wrestlers are. I mean, they've always been actors.
Yeah.
But like the acting prowess of wrestlers has had a pretty significant spike.
It depends.
Get like a Paige or like a Becky Lynch.
Don't get Paige. Listen, we've seen Fighting with Our Family.
I have not seen it, and I actually would like to.
It's a movie. It is a movie that exists on celluloid.
I've heard good things.
It's fine. Nick Frost is okay. There is definitely a weak point, and that is the Paige character. Anyway, the last show that they announced was Moon Knight. Moon Knight is basically crazy Batman in the Marvel Universe.
Who wears white
so that people can target him. And also, he thinks he's talking to an Egyptian god, but it's probably schizophrenia.
He thinks Dracula's a nerd.
Yeah, he does think Dracula's a big nerd.
That is one of my favorite pages in comic history.
It's super good. Yeah.
Moon Knight walking down those stone steps. Dracula, you nerd, where's my money?
Where's my money, you big nerd? I mean, we're not exactly paraphrasing it because, like, there's cursing.
There's a big nasty swear.
There's a big nasty swear in that panel. But anyway, yeah, I'm pretty excited for these three extra shows. I hope they do well. I hope they, you know, Marvel Plus or Disney Plus sticks with them.
I am absolutely surprised that they're actually doing it, like, at least Ms. Marvel in live action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing missing is Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's still tied in with the New Warriors sitcom that's in production limbo
that
basically.
Is still going, maybe not. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows if that show is still going to
they
be.
They haven't even really talked
not.
About it.
Yeah.
I don't even think Melina Van Der Rob knows.
Isn't she the voice of Squirrel Girl in Marvel Rising though?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
so I mean she is Squirrel Girl canonically Squirrel Girl at this point.
Yeah. Let's move on to Star Wars. There is Star Wars news. Let's talk about a Star War.
There's a trailer of that Star War, and there's all kinds of interesting goings on in said trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a new trailer for The Rise of Skywalker came out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things.
Yeah. Rey's got a red Swiss Army knife lightsaber that's clicks from being two lightsabers to being a Darth Maul. She can go from double Darth Vader to Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the weird thing is it's like her double-bladed lightsaber is like when it's together and it looks weird until she folds it out.
Yeah, I saw a joke online that, you know, they said, why does Rey need that collapsible lightsaber? And someone said, well, ladies' pockets are very small.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah, but yeah, it looks...
Also the fact we're getting Dark Side Rey.
It's... I think it is some kind of red herring. I think that either...
It's a vision or...
It's either a vision of the future, of a possible dark future, or like... I still think that they're going in a route similar to the Shadows of the Empire comic, where in that comic, Luke temporarily became a Sith apprentice. To Palpatine, so that he would learn Sith ways, so that he can bring true balance to the Force. Basically, what do they call him? Gray
Jedi.
Yeah. So that, you know, folks that know both Jedi and Sith, so that they can, you know, keep their emotions in check, but also be Jedis.
They've clearly made the point in the two movies we've had mm-hmm. that the Jedi aren't exactly right either.
Right. So I imagine that it's probably going to be something like that, where Rey learns some, like, I can almost picture in my head, like, the climactic end final battle, and like Palpatine's red Force ghost is like attacking, and like, you know, Kylo Ren is like on the ground, he's made his big like switch over to the good side or whatever, and he's about ready to like die or something, and Rey has her lightsaber knocked out of her hands, and all of a sudden you see her shoot Force lightning out of her hand, because that's a Sith move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and showing that, oh, she's a Jedi that also knows Sith stuff, and like she's brought true balance to the Force,
even though Luke did it in Return of the Jedi.
Well, yeah,
not the lightning part, but he did choke some people
out. That's very true. But yeah, I can kind of see that happening. I'm more excited about red-eyed C-3PO and whether he is a bad guy now.
He's evil now.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that really great Darth Vader comic with basically evil C-3PO.
The only difference between evil C-3PO and regular C-3PO is the evil one says swear words.
That's it. He just curses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm also wondering if they're pulling from the legacy novels or whatever.
They probably are a little bit.
Well, they've always been picking and choosing what they want from that and what they don't.
Yeah, but like the fact there was the story arc where the one Solo child goes bad and the other one has to stop her.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will this be Kylo Ren's redemption arc? Because he's always played the weird.
I hope not. Why can't we have a bad guy that stays the bad guy?
I mean, that's Palpatine's job.
I mean, he did kill Han Solo.
Yeah, but even then, that's...
No, he killed Han Solo. He should be a bad guy.
He needs to be punished for what he's done.
Yes.
And then seeing Carrie Fisher in the trailer just made me sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Immediately tear up.
I was like, for sure.
Yeah.
The thing I'm worried about most with this is that J.J. Abrams is going to turn it into a fanboy fiesta. And nothing is going to be challenging at all.
I am worried that because this is the ninth movie and what is supposed to be the big end to the entire arc.
To the Skywalker saga.
But Disney is not going to let Star Wars end. They will never let it end.
Well, I'm fine with it.
Nothing's ever really gone.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it not ending. I'm just, you know, tired of Skywalkers mucking up the galaxy.
Yeah, let's give the Skywalkers a break. Speaking of Star Wars...
And it's going to be too long, and I'm going to have to pee in the middle.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. let's talk about The Mandalorian real quick.
Man, that show looks good.
It looks so cool.
It looks very good. Did you see MC Chris is trying to petition to do a voice on the show?
No, don't let him.
Yeah.
But he's Boba the Fett.
He doesn't need... Yeah, they can put that song as the end credits.
There we go, yeah.
But that Mandalorian trailer looks like if Disney asked me personally what I think would be cool in a Star Wars thing,
yeah,
and then just made that.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, there's Boba Fett. There's IG-88, and he's like actually doing stuff.
Yeah. Not just standing there being a prop piece.
Yeah, being a coffee maker with arms and legs.
Yep. Oh yeah, I'm super pumped for it. I can't wait.
Man, when he did that spin move and stuff, like shooting around, I was like, I had a character in an old Star Wars game that did that.
Yeah, like they got my streaming dollars already because they made a Boba Fett show.
Yep, yep.
I'm a simple man.
All right, so we got to fly through these last ones super, super quick. These are just kind of high points. There's going to be an Obi-Wan limited series.
And there's been a lot of murmurings about that lately and whether or not that was true. Well,
and it
looks
like it is. And Ewan McGregor is going to be in it. And
well,
it takes place
there.
Between episode 3 and 4.
As it should.
I'm excited. That's going to be great. Back to Marvel stuff. They released a little more about the Eternals movie. They had a full cast kind of listing. Mm-hmm. And apparently Kit Harington from Game of Thrones is going to be in it.
Game of Thrones is done. He's got to have something to do.
Yeah. He is stepping way out of his acting comfort zone by playing the Black Knight, a character. But, you know, that's interesting because the Black Knight is traditionally a human character in the Marvel Universe, although he's like from a parallel. I think they retconned him to be like from a parallel Earth or something like that. Like, there's something weird.
There's a whole bunch of weird, like, Arthurian legend Marvel guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's him. Then you get, like, into Hercules and all that weird crap with Marvel.
Yeah.
Actually, that's where we're headed, I guess.
Yeah. If anything, Hercules may show up on She-Hulk because he would show up in the comic every once in a while and be kind of a big dick.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, Hercules in the Marvel comics is like if Thor had no responsibilities. Like Gamer Thor, if Gamer Thor from Endgame was still buff and was like also a frat bro.
Yeah.
That's Hercules.
Yeah, he is pretty frat bro-y.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. There was a trailer for a live-action Lady and the Tramp movie.
Yeah, it looks bad.
It looks bad. At least they're using real dogs, except for their gross CGI mouths.
When I saw the poster for it, I'm like, this looks so fake. It looks like barely a step away from a magazine collage.
Pretty much. But at least Disney seems to know that it's not great because it is not being released in theaters. It is coming straight to the app, which I'm also a little worried that Disney Plus is going to be the dumping ground for Disney movies that they think aren't going to cut it in theaters.
For your Jafar needs glasses sequel.
Basically. Like. Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing, just because it looks awesome and I want to mention it, Jeff Goldblum, The World According to Jeff Goldblum, is basically a travel show. It's like the Anthony Bourdain, like...
Except Jeff Goldblum doesn't know anything about what he's talking about.
Yeah, and it's just Jeff Goldblum Goldbluming it up, like across the country, talking to people and doing weird stuff. And
it looks like a lot of fun.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be super good.
Even he's like, look, this is going to be a weird show. You're either going to love it or you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Didn't he just say, like, watch it or don't?
Yeah.
In his own trailer?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're definitely banking on the eccentricities of Jeff Goldblum or the persona that is Jeff Goldblum.
I'd like to believe that's actually him. I mean, he's putting on a little bit of an act because actor. But I'd like to think that is more Goldblum than not.
It feels like just watching a show of his apartments.com character.
Pretty much. Well, there's a whole bunch more D23 news. We're probably going to get into it in following weeks just because more news is going to come out, you know.
Yeah, there was a huge dump.
Go. Yeah, there's a huge amount of it. Well, hey, I think we have reached time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else you can find fine podcast out there on the internet, so you can listen to all of our back episodes. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. So if you like the show and you want to help support the show, head on over there, check that out. You can actually get the episodes a few days early if you're so inclined. Yeah, we also have t-shirts. Just go to nerdoverload.com, click our store link, and check them out. They're good shirts.
Yep. You can also check out David Pencil.
Yes, David Pencil. I want to thank him for our intro and outro. It's pretty great.
Oh, wishlist my game on Steam. It's Believe. Look it up. Put it in the search box on Steam. It'll show up. Give it a wishlist. It helps me out.
Yeah, it's a good game. It looks excellent. Can't wait to play it.
Yep. And thank you to Parker for continuing to help us
thank you,
spread news.
Yeah, he's doing a great job over there at our Facebook. Our Facebook page has been really blowing up. And
And we have Parker to thank for that.
We really do. Anyway, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.